2 Timothy chapter 3. We're continuing the ambassador course. I thought we would possibly round this out last week, but through direct divine intervention of God Almighty through His Word, I found some more notes. So, yes, sir. Chapter 3. But anyway, that's a joke for you guys. But you should have been all over me. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. Last week, if you remember, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it's talking about the body of Christ in the last days. Okay? And what does he say in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Okay? What is in the last days today? If the body of Christ is talking about 1 Timothy chapter 4, is the body of Christ in the last day, they're going to be departing from the faith and they're going to be denying this. What is this talking about? Consider what we talked last week. This is not talking about the body of Christ. Who's it talking about? Come on, guys. It's the system. The world. There you go. Now we're talking. Now it's a world system, and then, so in verse chapter 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Okay, the world system out there, the religious system, is naturally religious. Okay, I had a great day yesterday talking with a young man that knows some doctrine. He believes in Christ dying for his sins, the only doctrine or only thing that saves him, the blood of Jesus Christ. But he hates the system out there. He hates not only a government system, but he hates the church system. And he's seeing his own church looking at some things that going in the way of the government or going away as a world thing. And it was just wonderful to just listen to him talk about some things. And I didn't hit him with a frontal assault. And as we're going to look at some things here, you know, that he knew and acknowledged that, man. Look at that verse 2. Let me slow down a little. Chapter 3, verse 2. What's those first two words? Amen. That's the problem. Once you understand it's not God. It's not the Word of God. It's man that has the natural rebellion against God's people or God's religion. So remember that. You need to remember that. There's a system out there. You need to remember that just because they are involved in religion, it does not mean that they are involved in what you are involved in. That's why we teach at Kent and Grace Fellowship, to understand your Word of God rightly, divide it so you'll be able to stand. And when Timothy was involved in some things back in Ephesus, Paul acknowledged that and saw that and said, you know, you're going to go through some things. You hear me? Timothy was in a battle, okay? And there was people coming after him, and he was just, you know, I believe he was ready to tuck tail and run. But Paul encouraged them. Don't you forget about the religious system out there. It's tough, isn't it, Brother Ted? I mean, listen. They're going to think that you're a part of what they are. As I was listening to this young man, you know, he could very acknowledge, yeah, you believe what I believe. So I was careful in my steps and careful in my terminology to share him. I'm not the same person as you are in the religious system that you are in. You're not the same as you were when you first heard and learned about dispensation truth, are you? You have to acknowledge that once you started really believing that God made a distinction between Paul's ministry and Moses' ministry, if you will, that it makes a difference in all your life and how you look at things. That excites me. Might not excite you. I mean, you can't tell. But anyway, but don't forget that. But don't you forget this. Don't get in a place where you don't understand that there's a religious system out there. Listen, it's so easy to say, Stained glass windows and padded pews is where it's at. Parking lot. Many of you passed probably 10 churches before you got here. You know, listen to 15 radio stations before you got here. Don't think that religious system out there. The world is naturally part of that system. Yes, sir.
We have all these things in the Bible that tell us the last days. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. All this stuff is happening right now.
Absolutely.
But when is the end?
Well, God don't tell us that. We'll keep reading.
But then again, you can go back 1,500 years. I won't say 2,000, 1,500. And they had the same stuff.
You're jumping ahead of me. You got my notes or something? You know? You're jumping way ahead of me. But look, what does he say to do with this? What does Paul say to do with the first four verses? Look at verse 5.
Turn away.
Having a form of godliness. Yeah. What's the end of that verse? From such, be a part of. Sing kumbaya. Join hands.
Tolerance.
Yeah. Tolerance. What was that? Coexistence. Listen, guys. Many of you already know that the battle is on you. It's affected your own personal lives. It's affected your family members. There's family members right now who won't speak to you. That's sad, isn't it? But does that mean you just have tolerance? Do you just give up what you believe and say, you know something? For the love of my family, I'm going to eat Thanksgiving dinner with them. We do that anyway. You tolerate a lot of things. But you are to avoid, to turn away from that false religious system in the world. The same system that you and I was a part of. Now, there's very few of us in here that are young enough that our parents was gracious enough to give us dispensational truth, you know, from the beginning. You know, some of our kids has not known any other doctrine, have they? You know, and that's a blessing. But you know something? They can be also lured away, and we're going to look at some things. Look, stay away from it. It finds its focus in forms. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You could be buildings. Hey, if we had a building, I'd be thankful. But then we do have a building. And I'm thankful. You'll find forms, an outward appearance of godliness. Think about that. Don't that person or that organization down the street? Hey, we was over here for a year and a half at a place that had a form, had appearance of godliness, and we taught dispensational truths. But without the true power of godliness, without the gospel, without the truth, without the power of God, that's what they have. Once you understand dispensation of truth, it's a totally different organism, if you will, isn't it? That you want, it's living, it's breathing. And to answer your question, Walt, as we walk down through it, it was happening in Paul's days. Are you going to turn away from that? That's the key, isn't it? Or do we just join hands? Paul was embattled with the gospel to save people, and he started how many churches? At least we know. Okay, there you go. He wrote 13 epistles. He wrote to 10 churches. There was at least 7 churches he wrote. He started. And what did he say towards his last days? All have forsaken me. Didn't imagine that. And we get a little hurt because Junior down the street there slammed the door in our face. But look at verses 6 through 9. This is how the religious system operates that explains verses 1 through 3, 1 through 4, in the dispensation of grace. Where are we at? Oh, thank you. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs were also was. Notice in verse 6. For this sort of are they to creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away in divers lust. Okay? I'm not going to the silly women because we have women in here today. You know your women's not silly. You can go through scripture after scripture after scripture. It talks about some things. It's a religious system. Okay? And the fact is this, the point is this, that they go into houses. Okay? They go into houses. They go into, and they subvert what? Families. The family is under attack here. Follow me? That's what they go. They go family. And Titus 1:11 says, it's talking about the gang slayers and the vain talkers and the unruly people teaching false religious doctrine, don't it? Okay? Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses. Not just you. Whole houses that they take in. They attack the family. The way the church is going to be attacked is through what? Family. You know this message is strong enough that, hey, it can divide families. It can take a godly woman and a godly man that's married and make a division in them. And that's sad. It attacks them. It's a constant attack against the institution of God that He established for the human race. What's the four divine institutions? What's number one?
Free will.
Free will. Volition. What's number two?
Marriage.
What's number three?
Family.
What's number four?
Nationalism.
That's what it attacks. Attacks. And the way you get to the nation is through what? Families. That's why when I look out there, and when you look at the government system out there, you know it's breaking down. I hear all the time, God's left America. You know, God just turned His back on America. Look at us. No, the attack. God never turns His back on you, so just get that out of your picture. You might turn your back on Him, you know, and go with the system. But you destroy the things that supports the nation. And that is the family structure. It provides a social structure for the functioning of the nation, the family does. The way you attack that is marriage itself. And we talked about this before. We talked about, hey, you attack the family by allowing people come in there and tell you what you do, how you raise your families. Then you attack the marriage. It's not a marriage between a man and a woman. Okay? And it's okay to live together. Okay? It's okay to fornicate. It's okay. And all that stuff. We know that. You know, I'm not talking to a bunch of little novice babies here. You know what I'm talking about. Then the next thing you know is, and once they take that away, they try to attack your what? Free will. And that's exactly what the human government is supposed to protect, is your free will, your marriage, and your family. But now we see the government's attacked. Human government's attacked. We know that. I'm not, you know, going to say anything that's going to get me thrown off anywhere. It's fact. And you destroy the marriage as an institution in which the people live and go forth, don't you? And as you attack those things, you attack the dispensation of grace of God, what God set up. In verse 6, they are silly because they're always talking. What did verse 7 say? Ever
learning.
We know people like that, don't we? Ever in the behind these places like this, ever learning and never able to come to the truth. Continue and talk. And you know what? Talk about itchy ears. People like that, don't they? Sometimes people don't like the truth. People don't want to be able to open up their Bible and see for themselves what God has said, but they'll rip you up one side down the other. For what you believe in. But they're talking about things they have learned and they do not know the truth. What truth is proclaimed today in the dispensation of grace?
Revelation of the mystery.
Y'all agree or disagree? Do they know that? They don't know. You're shaking your heads no. You know, they don't know the distinction of what Paul is doing today or what God is doing today. You hear it all the time. If I only know what God is doing today. Don't that just like perk your ears up and make you smile? You can know. Have all men to be saved and come knowledge of truth. That's a great verse.
Some people don't want to change.
They don't want to change. And we're going to look, we're continuing to work down through here, and maybe this will answer some things to know how you deal with people. You know, that they don't want to change. If they don't want to change, what do?
The same.
You know, you give them the truth, and you don't bang down their door and all that. Just give them the truth, and you know, when they come around, and if they do hear it again, and something clicks, if it's not too late, they'll remember you. Hey, I heard that before. That type of thing. But they are always talking. No, they don't know. They do not know what is going on. They assume that they are. You know that. You've been in that system. Many of you have. You sit in the churches and sit in the organization and sit in that structure, that world religious system, and you put your trust in the guy up there. He would not lie to you. I've done that. You know, he's a man of God. He won't lie to me. And we all want to believe that. But what did that verse 2 says? For men. I'm not saying don't look at me as a liar and all that stuff. I try to be a word man. You know, I want you to see fruits in my life as much as I want to see fruit in your life. That's what I look at. I can't judge your soul. It says they do not know what is going on. Led captive, led into what? Divers lust and so forth. You know what that is? That's a burden of guilt, isn't it? Think about it. If I can make you feel guilty, you're going to be led captive in that system, and guess what? You're going to never question anything. You know, you're always going to be worried, you know, oh my gosh, you know, he's got something on me or something like that. I don't want to think that way, that the system's like that, but we know sometimes it is. It's a guilt process. It's a fear of bondage. And, you know, they are in bondage and fear. Ted knows right now that he could triple the size of his church by putting people under bondage and fear, couldn't you, Ted? And we could too. We'd have to have 15 services a week in here. You'd probably be flooding. Because you know what? Well, what you're talking about, people don't want to know what. A lot of people don't want this responsibility of who they are in Christ and the dispensation of grace, because it's so much easier to say, my preacher said that. My preacher's going to lead me, you know. And it's
when somebody else has the responsibility.
Come decisions in your life. What follows that?
Responsibility.
And there's many of us, even I, sometimes don't like responsibilities. I'll make a decision quick and to the point. But there's a responsibility to come that, and I've learned over the last 5 years. Being involved with some other things outside the church, and it when you make decisions, responsibilities come. You know, and that's why I'm so gray-headed. Not, it had nothing to do with my kids. So, the religious is obviously, that religion is obviously the law system. What's that?
I said you will lie to us.
Yeah, true. But God won't. That's for sure. But the religious is the religion that he's talking about here is the law system that puts you under bondage. Okay? It's easy to get under that system and think that you're doing right. Because you know, they're not teaching you the Word of God rightly divided. That's the thing about Canton Grace Fellowship, in a way. We're a distinction to anybody else out here in the area. That's why you don't see us having preacher's breakfast with 15. I mean, if they invite me, I'll go. You know, Malone does it all the time, if I could say that. You know, they invite you there, and you go there, and we've been there.
You witness to it. Yeah. Professor there.
That's right. You know, it gives you great opportunities. Verse 8. This is a very important passage concerning what we're looking at in verses 6 through 9. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, retrobate concerning the what? Now, as. Okay? So do these also resist the truth. They're going to resist the truth. But they're going to do it in a very special, and I can't hardly say this word, specific, I got it out. Specific ways, okay? All right? They are going to use different tactics. Because here's something we're going to do. They are going to do it as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Paul gives us an example how that system is going to attack you, not only you personally, your ministry personally, and the ministry which you are under, that you're a part of. The problem is that they're not going to overcome you. They can't overcome you. Let me ask you this. As a member of the body of Christ, is God going to throw you out? Is God going to turn His back on you? Is He? Okay. What they're going to do is, here's what they're not going to do. They're not going to come at you with a funnel attack. Okay? Guess what? If I come at you with a funnel attack, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be prepared. You're going to know. That's why in my younger dispensational years, if you will, I was under a ministry that taught that. Hit them hard. You know, just back up and run over them if they don't believe you. That type of thing. That's a funnel assault. Okay? How many people can you win by doing that sometimes? Very few. But I'm looking at Jack, and Jack knows we're the same age. Like, hey, we're tired of candy coating a lot of things. We want to hit people right between the eyes. But you got to pick your battles. Right? Got to pick your battles. So what do they do? What did Jannes and Jambres do to Moses stood up there with Aaron? Aaron put the rod down and turned into what? Okay. What did Jannes and Jambres do? Okay. They tried to counterfeit and deceive. Here's what they did. They try to counterfeit. They deceive you in not standing in the things that you are. They use a counterfeit to draw you away. Hey, isn't two better than one sometimes? No, it wasn't that day, but to Pharaoh it was, wasn't it? Ha ha! You know, I've got two. What did one do? It ate the other one. Okay. Well, that's how they tried. They tried to overcome Moses, didn't they?
Could you compare that with an optical illusion?
Huh?
I mean,
just forget it. Okay, thank you. That's what I say, huh? Optical, huh?
I'll ask you later.
We'll ask.
3 o'clock in the morning.
David Copperfield, come on in. But anyway, look, they did it twice. Two snakes is better than one. Double parking lot is better than a single parking lot. A two-car garage is better than one-car garage. Okay? The counterfeit. That's what he says, but they shall proceed no further, verse 9, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs was also. When that system out there, when that world system, they're going to have a day, aren't they? Not only that day, guess what? It should be the today. You should be acknowledged enough that there's a system out there that you don't want to be a part of. That's tough sometimes, because you know why? I guarantee you some of you sitting here right now has got family members involved in that religious system. And they wholeheartedly believe that they're doing the right things. That's hard sometimes. That's very hard. That's why you should be responsible enough to know that your ministry and everybody else is going to look as if they're succeeding in that counterfeit religion. Okay? And you are going to look like you're a miserable failure. Right? You know, I'm pointing at Ted because you know what I'm. Ted knows what I'm talking about when your ministry is struggling. Okay, you know, your ministry is struggling. I'm glad you was here today, brother. I got somebody else to pick off. No, what I'm talking about. I'm serious because you know Ted's taught me some lot of things. Because when we moved up from here to help start a church. There's one thing the guy that I was involved with in the ministry could not move me from, and they tried to move my whole family from, is dispensational truths. You're not going to take a frontal assault against me. And I shared this with you from day one. You're not going to move me. I had 10 years worth of training, if you will, under, you know, before I even got involved in trying to start a church or be involved in church. So you're not coming after me. I'm going to stand toe to toe with you. But you can woo your family members into different things, and it starts to desynthesize. Oh, they're doing the right things. I'm not picking on anybody, but I know the fact that think about this. This small group right here. If you guys don't look around, you don't know how many people is behind you. There's thousands in the body of Christ. Okay? Thousands. And there's groups and churches that bleed and teach the same thing. They've had growing pains. They had, what's the opposite of growing pains?
Prosperity.
The opposite. What? But they also decline. We swell some months and we decline. We're like, oh my gosh, what we're doing wrong. You know that, and you can't measure your success with that. The best that you can do is seemingly appear that you're going to outdo or be outdone by the counterfeit that is not genuine. If I worried about these big places down the street that teaches what we but
was wrong doctrine.
Okay, well, the wrong doctrine and stuff like that. I can't worry about that. And I've learned through the years, being guided and counseled by great men of the faith, you know, they support me in that. You know, you're only responsible for who you are with the people that you have. You make sure, I have to make sure that I'm feeding you the right doctrine in order for you to be fed and filled before you can walk out the door and teach somebody else. Didn't Christ Jesus in His earthly ministry they had to be fed first, the 12 apostles, in order to be able to what? Feed other people. What's the difference today? What's the difference today in a local church, the pillar and ground of the truth, being fed? Shouldn't you be fed and filled so you'd be able to take the Word of God and be able to handle it out the door and share the gospel, the grace of God, the right way? Absolutely. Like that song, anything you can do, I can do better. That's yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Y'all know that. Yeah. That's you can get in a battle like that out there with that counterfeit religion. And you know something? You're not going to win. I know people from years and years and years. They're still in the churches with name starts with a B. And they honestly believe that they're doing the will of God, okay? And they haven't changed one person's mindset of who they are in Christ Jesus.
Counterfeit's hard to detect.
Many of you know that when they teach you, I was told this, and you probably know this far more than I do. They teach you how to handle, like counterfeit bills, people. They teach you how to handle the real thing first. You best know how to handle the real thing first, the King James Bible, for the English-speaking people, if I may say, before you can handle any other Bibles out there. Because you know what? They believe their Bible to be the Word of Truth, the final authority. Okay? So do you. But guess what I believe their Bibles are? A counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. You got to remember verse 9. But they shall not perceive further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs was also. You're going to have to walk by faith. And that is the issue. When you're going up against any system, and the faith, where do you get that faith from? The Word of God. You cannot walk by faith if your faith does not have the doctrine to rest in. That's why we teach and we totally believe that the words of Paul, God through Paul, is sound doctrine for today, the message of grace, and it gets inside of you and it makes a difference. And you feed it the right doctrine, Pauline truths, to get down in so you'll be able to stand on these days like today and the days that you're going to face tomorrow. You have to walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast known my thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, and which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered us. I want you to think about that when we get down there. Okay? Thou hast fully... Paul contrasts himself, me, against who? They, the system. Okay? We talk about there's no contradiction in the Word of God, correct? You believe that wholeheartedly?
Yes.
Okay? There's contrast. And there's contrast how Paul is contrasting his doctrine with the doctrines that's being taught out there. And that's true for today. Hey, you think it's any worse in Paul's days as it is today with the system, with what's going on? It's no worse.
What's worse about it is the ability to reach the masses. You know, Paul couldn't put it on TV, but...
But the only thing I was trying to say is, what makes it, if it's worse today than it was in Paul's day, what makes it worse?
There's more people.
There's more people today. That makes it seem worse. That's why when you turn on the TV and you see the war in Afghanistan, or you see what's going on in Greece, and you see what's the turmoil and tsunamis and stuff, it seems like, oh my gosh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know? It's always been doing that. But now you've got the technology of the flick of a button. You can get any information you want to, and it seems like it's worse. But it's more people that makes it involved. And once again, for men, mankind's, what's the problem? Look at this. Paul, they shall proceed no further, verse 9. But thou hast known... Has fully known my doctrine. You want to make sure by the way and to be familiar with whose doctrine? Paul's doctrine. That's going to help you today. It's not the doctrine that was taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm sorry, as much as you want to believe it, that's not going to help you today. If you want to apply it, if you want to apply it to something, I'll tell you where it's going to help you at. Ages to come. When we start the book of Matthew in several weeks down the road, you're going to see some things in the book of Matthew that really will just, you know, just wake you up. Because Matthew is a book about a who?
King.
And is the king on the earth yet?
No.
Where's the king going to be on the earth at?
Ages to come.
Millennium kingdom. That will help you understand what God is going to do in that age over there. And what a wonderful book it is when you understand it dispensationally. You need to know his doctrine. Paul's manner of life. You know what his manner of life was?
Heavenly.
That's his focus, right? He practiced what he preached. When rubber hit the road, he said, I am what I am. God committed to me this dispensational truth, and I'm that's who I am. I'm going to practice what I preach. That's rough sometimes, isn't it? Even for us preachers, it's rough sometimes.
He also acknowledged he was a human being, and in his flesh
dwelt. Well, no good thing.
He did mess up. He didn't blame it on anybody but himself.
Next, his purpose. What was Paul's purpose? Here's another one, got my notes. You hear what she said? That's a good purpose. Then, is that a good purpose for you and I?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And he testified that in Acts 20:24, testified of the gospel, the grace of God. Now is faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch. That this is where Paul picked up Timothy in the book of Acts, by the way. He said, you know exactly how they treated me when I came there. Many of you have not been suffered persecutions and beaten and all that stuff. There's laws to protect you, aren't they? But in the spiritual realm, you can be beaten up one side down the other. When you hold for dispensational truth, isn't that right? We can be beaten up one side down the other. And you may think you're a total failure. Because why? You're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about the purpose and the manner of life. But you continue in verse 11. Persecution, affliction. What persecution I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered who? And me. He has given an illustration of true godliness in this. There is a counterfeit of godliness in verses 5 through 9. But then there's a true godliness in verses 10 through 11. Timothy personally saw the increased intensity of persecution and of opposition of Paul. And in this way he says, Timothy, you know what appointed me to these things. So don't let them just don't throw them away. Just don't throw them away. But let me ask you this, and we're getting very close. Let me ask you this. When he says, but out of them, the Lord delivered me. Does God through Paul ever promise that he will deliver you through what Paul went through? He delivered Paul, didn't he? But what Paul went through, does God promise that he... If you get out here and get beaten half to death today when you're down on a street corner, does God promise to deliver you the same way He promised to deliver Paul?
His grace. He took him through it.
He took him through it.
Because he endured. The verse says he endured.
He endured. But don't go out here and do the same things Paul's doing. You know, you're going to suffer some things. But what I'm saying, what God did through Paul in his early ministry, was he healings?
Oh, yeah.
You know, are the healings today like what was happening through Paul's days?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm talking about. The things that he delivered them, but he did endure. Can you endure?
Sure.
Absolutely. What is your hope? To have a
resurrection.
Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of who? He's going to save you from all this stuff. You know that. But today, people mix his salvation up. And next week we'll pick up verses 14 through 15 and end of the chapter. But today people mix it up about being saved, and they want to use the term salvation in many other ways. You first trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. You believe it. And He saves you from eternal separation forever. And that's why Romans 1-5, it deals with justification. And it's forever settled. Forever settled. It's never to be brought up again. But who brings it up when you do bring it up? Man, me. I just don't feel saved. I got to do something. It's just not right. Just remember who you are in Christ, and if you have to go back and read it again, there's nothing wrong with it. And then we know Romans 3, 6, 7, and 8 deals with sin, deal with the law, and deal with the flesh. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. If you're dead to those things, what good are they? But who keeps bringing them up? Yeah, that little guy, well, you can't say the devil made me do it, but you know, he's on your shoulder. It's flesh. It's I. Then Romans 9 through 10, 10, 11 deals with what?
Israel.
Israel, where at? Yeah, in the dispensation of grace. Hey, we haven't, I remember Ted shared this a long time ago about, he I think it was you when you shared it. But if not, I'll give you credit. If not, yeah, is it like this? He says, you know, Paul's teaching the body of Christ, and they're coming into understanding who they are in Christ, and it's a whole different group of people, because, you know, what the fact is, once God quit dealing with the kingdom saints, everybody's heathen. That's the way I look at it. They're all Gentiles. They're all down here, not up here, right? Everybody wants to elevate the nations back up here where Israel's system is, and that's era. They have fallen. They're down here on the bottom, so they're all nations. Nobody has a favorite nation status. So Paul's teaching this new body of Christ as an organism, but there's the Israelite in the kingdom program back there in the back. And he's jumping up and down, but he's got a question. He's eating at them. But what about me, Paul? You know? And he goes on and explains what? Romans 10, 9, 10, 11. Bingo. You know, now you know you're not spiritual Israel. Now you know that God has not forgotten, His favorite nation that He's going to put over here. But first, they got a sin debt to deal with, don't they? That's where the wrath comes in. And how many people sit in churches that you got scared to death? I don't want to go through that. And they're pouring up here, crying up here, the altars. You know, and get you up here. You see? You got to forgive this. No, wait a minute. My sins have been forgiven. Where?
At Calvary.
You're not going to put me under a system to make me feel guilty. That goes right back in that world system, and you keep them coming back. You ever notice that? You hear about how many people you got saved today? How many come up to your altar today? And it's every Sunday. I look at these chairs and the seats. I push a button and just rotate you. You only have to move. I'll do it for you. You know, just come on this way. That's a system out there that you don't want to be a part of. Then you got Romans 10 through 16. That's application. And to be able to take Romans 1 through 8 and apply it to who you are. Great doctrine, isn't it? We've been through this. At least I have 2 or 3 times. I don't know. But anyway, just a refresher to know who you are. And you don't have to beat yourself up on the daily things. The world is tough out there. It's tough. We lose jobs. We're dying. We have operations. You know, it's just most miserable sometimes, isn't it? But my hope is that God, whether I die or He takes me out of here, I got a glorious body, fashioned like His one day, and I'm not going to have no other worries. As I shared with the guy yesterday, people says God can heal you. I believe He can take a dead man and make him alive by hearing the Word of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. But the people says that God can heal them, and many of you may say, you know, God healed me of cancer, but I'm still wearing glasses. I'm still taking diabetes shots. I'm still going to die. The God that I serve, that spoke the Bible, when He touched you, was straightway and immediately. So that's how you understand things dispensationally. You don't blame God. What's wrong? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's wrong with me? You get to know God, what He's doing in the Word of God, and you line yourself up with Him, and there's the answers. We know we're going to die. We know if I go out here and eat 14 cheeseburgers in the next hour, chances are I'm going to go, help. Many of you would take that and eat them over the next 5 weeks. But I have to have it in one setting. Father, we do thank you for so much in life. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.